one who draws us to the Son. It's God the Holy Spirit, who we remember especially today. And I thank God the Holy Spirit, who gives us the power and the victory, that we're not called to be defeated Christians, that through everything we can give thanks and glory and praise to the name of our great God and Savior. Blessed be his holy name. Hallelujah. In my life, when God the Holy Spirit came into my life, absolutely, irrevocably, permanently changed me, transformed me, filled me, renewed me, renewed my mind, changed my mind, changed my attitude. Up till then, I've been a defeated Christian, always seeing things that I could never aspire to and being frustrated because I wanted to get there. But when the Holy Spirit came, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive great power, not just a human strength, but a divine encounter with the living God. And at the time, many years ago, when I longed for this experience, and I was told it doesn't happen today. God doesn't move in those ways. You just simply trust and you'll get to heaven somehow. But God, the Holy Spirit came. He filled me, gave me gifts, wonderful gifts, gifts which he's never taken away, which sadly, though, I've not used correctly and rightly to the glory and honor of his name. But there's no glory for a person. All the glory goes to God. All the excellency. Our God is an awesome God. God can move in your circumstances. Any circumstance that you are in, everything can work together for God to use you to be his witness, to tell people about Jesus. I love seeing people come to Jesus. There's no greater thing in all this world than a life that has been changed and transformed, a life brought out of darkness and brought into light. It's wonderful when the light starts to go on in people's lives. It's wonderful when people begin to realize and understand that there is a Holy Spirit. And maybe today some people are saying, I didn't know that there was such a person of the Holy Spirit. He is a person. You can speak to the person of the Holy Spirit. That's why sometimes we sing or pray. We invoke, come Holy Spirit, we need you. And he'll point us to Jesus. But there are people here who so need the power of God in their lives. So many people just think, well, maybe if I just go to church, maybe if I just do what's right, that's enough. God wants you changed. He doesn't want you patched up. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. And he's made all things new. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive. It's a promise. Not you might. You shall speak with tongues. You shall prophesy. These are promises in God's word. If you don't want to avail yourselves of them, well, that's the choice is yours. God has always given us free will. Whilst there's breath in my body, I have free will. I can choose. I can reject. But if you want the knock, if you want to knock, the door will be opened. If you seek, you will find. If you ask, it will be given unto you. Hallelujah. Don't take that out of context, because the scripture says, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to who? Ah, I thought I heard a whisper. Somebody got it right. To those who ask, Marion, come and share how you ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you. Yes, you. You're the only Marion I can see. Over there, anyway. Don't tell me you're shy.
A little bit.
Go for
it. I'm not shy. I'm just, this is so unexpected.
Really? I was brought up in the Church of England. In fact, I went to church in my mum's tummy You know, that's and went to everything. Sunday school, brownies, guides. Became a guide captain, a Sunday school teacher, pathfinder leader. people were being... we got this new vicar and people were being saved. And I thought, well, it's just a bit emotional. But I went to everything and I love Bible study. I've always loved it since I was a little girl. But we went away on holiday with St. Leonard's and I realised that love is the greatest emotion and God is the God of love. So I just gave my life to the Lord. And after a few years, Gordon got so interested in reading books by Andrew Murray and different people. And then Dev Road started. It was Queen's Road before that. And Gordon was really interested. And I'd think, oh, well, you know, it's good for him, you know. But I never thought. I thought, again, it was emotional and a little bit, you know, step back. And one, heavens, it's Jim and Doris Frostick. You know, Jim died a couple of weeks ago. And Gordon and Jim and Doris and I went to this church to hear this man speak. And then we were invited back to this lovely couple. The man's name was Daddy Moffat. That's how we knew him. And Doris and Gordon were really into this, wanting to know more about the Holy Spirit. But Jim and I were a little bit more reserved about it. And when we got there and people prayed for us, it was like I had golden bells, golden rivers of water just surging up inside me. And I have never been the same since. And we are talking about an awful long time ago. And Gordon and Doris were quite matter of fact. They were looking at us, and Jim was like, hallelujah, and we're going down the road. We walked all the way home. And I was skipping. And do you know, that joy, a joy comes in the morning. Joy comes with the morning. There is never, ever a time when that joy can stop flooding you, because it's as inevitable as morning follows nighttime. And I just want that encouragement to, on this wonderful day of our Christian life, just remember that the Holy Spirit is our guide and our comforter and our teacher. And I could go on for another hour, but I won't. Okay.
Hallelujah. You're not fleeing already, are you, Laura? I was just going to call you. Look at them all, eh? Whose nerve will hold? Praise the Lord. Come on, Gary, you come and tell us how you encountered the Holy Spirit. Long time since I first met you, isn't it? Lots happened.
Yeah, great
Lots
deal.
Still to happen.
My story is the exact opposite of Marion's with regards to my background. My mum and dad were Catholics, but non-practicing. In fact, my mum used to send me to the door as a child to tell the priest that she wasn't in. Which wasn't a brilliant strategy. But as he could often see, appearing out the door at the back kitchen as well. But then, further down the road, God just decided that he wanted me. And literally out of the blue, as a teenager, I heard the gospel and broke and became a Christian. And started going to a local Baptist church. But deep inside, knew that there had to be more than attending church and trying to be good, because I knew I wasn't. So, you know, and Jesus doesn't ask me to do the impossible. He does the impossible. So to cut a long story short, I badly backslid with a deep hunger for more of God and not knowing how to get it and where to go. And again, to cut a long story short, I came to the point where I tried to take my own life. And the Lord just intervened in a big way and humbled me. And I didn't know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit was. I hadn't heard the term. But in my bedroom after that event, I just said, Lord, I'm not worthy to be called your son, but if there's anything that I can do for your church and your people, if there's anything I can do for you, then I'm open to it. And just as Marion was saying, it was just like, I just knew that a bucket of glory, just a wave just hit me. And it was like getting carried away. And I got all my punk records and all my punk clothes and got rid of them. And my friends were absolutely flabbergasted, and I bought some normal clothes and went back to the Baptist church. My dad was absolutely astounded because to him, I was going to end up in prison or some other route. But even at the Baptist church, you know, there was a couple of people. It was like the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was something that was underground. There was a few people who, well, something's happened, but you best keep away from them just in case. And then, lo and behold, through the guy who brought me to the Lord, he said, you know what, there's this church meeting a scout hut in Crosby. He said, I'll take you there. And, before that, and I will finish here, he said, there's this church at meeting Crosby in a scout hut, but they've got a meeting with someone called Ian Andrews at the Civic Hall. He said, so I'll take you there. So I said, okay, yeah, fine. And one thing that I knew about the experience of the Holy Spirit, I heard singing. And it was like singing I'd never heard before. And I still didn't know what it was, but I knew it had happened. I knew something in the Spirit, something had happened. And then I went to this meeting with the Kingsway Range with Ian Andrews. And then I heard people speaking in tongues, and it was the exact same singing, the exact same language. And I knew that that was where God wanted me. I knew that that was home, and then I was introduced to Roy Morgan. And there's a lot more I could say, but, you know, I just bless God because he took nothing and no one and gave me everything. And, you know, it hasn't been easy. It's still not easy, but God's God, and I know that, you know, he's mine and I am his. Thank you.
Isn't that a blessing, hey, just to know that you can experience the glory of God, just a little bit of a taster of what's to come. You know, the best is yet to come. A number of us here, a friend of mine, went to be with the Lord on Friday, a number from Kingsway were there as well. And of course, it was sad, but it was also glorious. The best is always yet to come. Never forget that. Sometimes we think this is it. And you reach a certain age or ability or whatever and you think it's not going to get any better. It is going to get a lot better. Hallelujah. This is the gospel message. This is the truth. You know, I'm old now, but when I was young and I saw people who got their fame and their glory, and their fortune, so many of them, where are they? They've got nothing. I've told this true story many times. When I went to school with two boys who were just born, as they would say, with a silver spoon in their mouth. And they left school. They had companies, big companies. Both of them ended up just with nothing, in prison, bankrupt, disgrace, shame. One of them has died. It was just heartbreaking. Someone who had everything, then they had nothing. And we who had nothing, we've got everything. Hallelujah. A glorious baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants for all of his people. You know, when you're just so full of the Spirit of God, nothing else matters. The things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We'll have one more. My better half. Come on. Tell us about the Holy Spirit.
Right. I came to know the Lord when I was 18. And I'd gone to church really all my life, gone to Sunday school and right through and was in the church choir where I met Dave. I think Gary touched on this. In spite of believing in God and going to church regularly, I did know there was something missing. I knew I was something different during the week to what I was on Sunday. And it was only when I was really challenged with the gospel that I really just saw it. And at first, I didn't fully see it because I read the scriptures, had the scriptures pointed out to me, really showing me that I was a sinner and I needed to be saved. And I asked the Lord to come into my life. But I think I was really quite independent, and I really still thought I had to do it myself. You know, it is too good to be true, isn't it, that you don't have to do anything. You just ask and you receive. And I went for about a week just feeling, oh, I can't be saved. I'm too bad to be saved. And then all of a sudden, I was reading the scripture in Ephesians where it says that, you know, it's not of yourselves. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I just saw it, you know, the Lord just took the veil from my eyes, and I just saw that when I'd asked the Lord into my life, he had come, and it was nothing to do with anything I'd done or anything I could ever do. And I just knew I was saved then. I knew I was forgiven. I was washed in the blood of Jesus. And as time went on, we were taken to a Pentecostal house group, and we were taught about the Holy Spirit, and we were taught that we could receive him. And much as my conversion, in a way, had been quite dramatic when God had opened my eyes to the truth of, you know, salvation by faith and through grace, I asked the Holy Spirit to come in and fill me. And it was all very calm. I didn't feel anything dramatic at all. But it was just as time went on, I knew I was different. I knew the Holy Spirit was there. I could speak in tongues. I could sing in tongues. I was more perceptive, really, more sensitive to the Holy Spirit working. And, I think it's different for all of us, really. But, you know, I know he's there. I know I'm born again. I know I'm filled with his Spirit. And, you know, you just can't describe it, can you? And that's just the very beginning, isn't it? When you do receive the Spirit, you know, you start learning and growing, and you know, I'm still learning and still growing, and I hope I always will be. Okay.
Tino, can we just sing a wonderful song to the Holy Spirit? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Just feel that for this time in our service. Can we just stand together? It's unlikely it'll just come. Who knows? He is. But for some, you have to ask. I just sense this today. You've got to knock. Holy Spirit, please, come, fill me afresh. Fall upon me. Don't put any conditions on it. No conditions. You know, and I came back from Israel. In Israel, the Jews, as they pray, they just lift up their hands. That's what Paul said, I would that all men everywhere would lift up holy hands. Lift up holy hands. See, you know, if you've never done it before, don't worry about that. I'm telling you, this is the biblical way. Just reach out to heaven. Let's just sing this hymn to the Holy Spirit. Fall afresh on me. They don't want God to move in their lives. They like to have a nice religious God that's self-contained. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You know, this wonderful day of Pentecost, the Jewish word is Shavuot. And it means weeks. It's a feast of weeks, seven sevens, perfect number. And then the 50th day. So you can always, it's fixed. It's always set. It says in the Bible, these are three great feasts which should never be forgotten. Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. The set forever. The last one, Tabernacles, we'll all celebrate. That's when the Lord will return. It'll be a glorious day. You can come to Israel with us this year as well, celebrate on this earth. But right now, glory to God. Blessed be his holy name. We're remembering the coming of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the 7 weeks ago, what they did in Israel, and certainly historically, they used to bring forth the first sheaf, the first fruits, just one. And this one was presented to the priest. And then at 50 days later, the Feast of Weeks, they bring forth more, the first fruits of everyone. They bring first fruits of wheat. They bring first fruits of grapes. In fact, they brought seven offerings, pomegranates, olives, barley. How many have I got to? But there's seven again. But this was the people now bringing them in. The first fruits, Christ the first fruits. Then you bring your first fruits. What have you given to God? Some people won't even give God much of their time. But God wants all of you. Doesn't he deserve it? He's purchased your salvation. Hallelujah. You will live forever. This is a wonderful and eternal promise. And then also Pentecost is the wheat harvest. The first harvest of Passover was the first fruit, was the barley one. This is the wheat harvest. And from the wheat they make two loaves. And in the temple days, they lifted up these two great loaves. And they danced around with them. And it was given as a wave offering to the Lord. And if you ask the Jews, they have all sorts of reasons why they've got two. You say, why have you got two? But you know what the answer is. It's clearly revealed in the New Testament. It's Jew and Gentile. Hallelujah. Thank God for his chosen people. You know what happened at Mount Sinai? There God came in a mighty way. And the Jewish people believe that was their marriage service. That is where God was married to Israel, his beloved, his chosen one. And it was sealed with this covenant. And part of the covenant were these great Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. And God gave us his law. And so for the Jews today, over this, well, it had been yesterday then, the Shabbat, they would be celebrating the giving of the law. Now I hear some people today say, the law's finished, God's finished with the law. He hasn't. Jesus came to fulfill it. Some people think they can live just like they like. No accountability and so on. That's not what the word of God says. Thy word, thy Torah have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the souls. What are we seeing in our day, in our society, in our generation? A breakdown of law, a breakdown of order. There's other laws trying to get in, Sharia law, all sorts of other laws. It tells us in the last days, people will come along who'll change the laws. Right? And in our nation, we're seeing God's laws being changed. Man's laws being written in. You're on subject to God's law. Hallelujah. We'll render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But the challenge for us today is we're going to render unto God the things that are God's. And it might not be in my day. It might be, I don't know. But I know this, there's a generation that needs to stand by God's law. And they need power to stand. Because all around them, the people will say, you must do this, you must follow this law and that law. There's a wonderful law. Can we just show us, Joel, please? Jeremiah 31. That God has promised for you and for me. This is the law of God. It's never changed. It's only changed in its location. And do you know where it's located now? That's right. Right in the heart. Hallelujah. It's disappeared. That's because it's in my heart. Have you got it? Is it coming? Let me read it to you. So important, this. This is also why you receive power. This. Hey. That's as if, thanks. Verse 33. See? This is the covenant. Now, do you know what a covenant is? A covenant is not just an agreement. People make agreements and they turn agreements up. They tear them up. Businesses, and they change them. But when it's God's covenant, God's holy covenant, it is not broken. And God says, I'll make this with the house of Israel in those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law, my Torah, inside of you. Right? And I'll write it on their heart. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Now listen, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you don't need the teacher on this earth. You need the teaching of God's Holy Spirit. You know what's right and you know what's wrong. Because God himself is teaching you. And if you dull your conscience so much that you do not hear from God, that the law of God is of no effect in your life, then be worried. The more you go on with God, the more tender your conscience will be. The more tender your heart will be. You'll want to do the things that please him. And the wonderful thing is this, that he gives you the power to be successful in this. Now for the Jews, when they remembered the coming, the Jewish teachers, they said this, that at Sinai, suddenly there was this mountain, fearsome, frightening, in cloud. And they were hearing trumpets and all sorts. But suddenly, the Jewish teachers say, it blossomed like a great big rose. Suddenly, it was just in abundance, all the flowers and everything. And then it was raised up, and it became a hoopah that became the marriage canopy. And it was stood over the people. I think it's a lovely picture. That's where God says, I will be your God. And you will be my people. That's why there's two loaves. There was one chosen people. There was only one nation. And then the Lord came and he broke down the dividing wall. So we who were strangers to the covenant of promise, we've been brought in. We who were alien to the commonwealth of Israel were accepted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when the bread of life is broken, when the word of God is given, when your hearts are clean by the power of God, then you truly in your Pentecost experience. This is what Pentecost is really all about. It's making us to be the people that God has ordained us to be. Don't just be a half-hearted devotee of Jesus Christ. Be fully persuaded. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The psalmist says many times about the law of the Lord. How I love your word. How I love your law. It's a wonderful thing. Jesus said, I've come in Matthew chapter 5, not to abolish, but to fulfill. To complete it. How did he complete it? By taking it from the outside and writing it on the inside. Glory to God. So we just close the meeting and maybe we could just sing one final song, Tino. And I just want to pray about that law just being written on your heart. I want, as we leave here now, for you to remember, the Lord is with you. He will not abandon you. He will let everything work together in your life for good, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing in your past, nothing in your present, nothing in the future. He is able, He's God, and He's great. Would you stand, please? And we just ask now, Lord, for your power just to come upon this people, Lord, that as they leave here, let them leave under the anointing of your Spirit, Lord. Give unto them, Lord, a peace like a river. Through all the changing scenes of life, dear Jesus, just guide them, lead them, keep them, bless them. Lord God, make them bold, make them strong, not in their own strength, but in the power of the Lord. And we ask this, Lord, and even as we sung this day, so, Lord, may your kingdom come, and may your will be done. In Jesus' name.